WTC Minneapolis St. Paul. FM 107.5, K298CO Minneapolis. Intelligent radio.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. Bob Agnew reports one school district in Utah deciding to treat the good book like a bad book.
But not for students in the Davis School District north of Salt Lake City. As after one parent claimed he's opposed to the Bible there due to some passages that contain violence or references to sexual behavior. It's a political response not expected to put a dent in the growing movement by parents around the country to stop schools from exposing their young children to materials promoting homosexuality and the LGBTQ agenda. Bob Agner reporting.
Authorities in India say the devastation is hard to imagine even when looking at it. No more survivors have been found in the overturned wreckage of two passenger trains that derailed. At least 280 people are dead. This is SRN News.
Michelle Tafoya, an AM 1280 The Patriot MVP.
Colonel Allen West, thank you for being here. Welcome.
13th, 14th, 15th Amendments. Those were all passed by Republicans. No support from Democrats. The very first members, black members of the United States House of Representatives and the Senate, were black Republicans. We don't articulate that, and we allow the other side to dictate the narrative and take over the message.
Streaming on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
Did you miss any of the Northern Alliance Radio Network or any of our local podcasts? Our local shows are all on our podcast. That's why I'm repeating myself on that. Head over to the website, am1280thepatriot.com, and catch up on your favorite shows locally here on The Patriot. Intelligent radio.
Portions of this program may have been pre-recorded.
The views expressed on the following program do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
It's been said the pen is mightier than the sword. In that case, surely a microphone is immeasurably more powerful. It conveys greater nuance and subtlety in tone and intent, especially when wielded by a true professional from the Northern Alliance Radio Network.
Check, check, 1, 2.
Is this thing on?
Here with razor-sharp wit and blunt commentary on the two-edged blade that is policy and politics, it's the Jack Tomczak Show.
Good afternoon, Twin Cities. But let's keep going. Welcome back to the Jack Tomczak Show. I am Jack Tomczak. Next topic, kind of similar to the last topic. We're continuing with education. We have in studio Christine Troyan. She's the executive director of the Minnesota Parents Alliance. And Erica, a parent. Apparently, Erica. That could be the name of your podcast.
There we go.
All right, let's start with, what is the Minnesota Parents Alliance?
All right, so the Minnesota Parents Alliance.
Like, no, we talked about where we were going to start, and we decided something else, and then I just changed it.
I think this is a great place to start. We always say parents are the solution, so we're a great place to start. So our organization kind of emerged last year as a response to the fact that I think a lot of parents were willing to get engaged in what was going on in K-12 education. Our mission statement is simply to educate and empower parents to be strong advocates for academic achievement, equality, and parental rights. We selected those three themes because we really believe that that kind of encapsulates everything that parents are most focused on and most hope for their kids' K-12 experience. So we're 1 year under our belt, and we've had rapid growing pains to deal with, which is a great problem to have. But we're really inspired by the number of parents that are stepping forward and getting involved, whether that means running for school board or simply showing up at school board meetings or just talking to their kid's teacher. I mean, that is ultimately the first step that every parent should take. And so just helping parents find their voice and their courage to just take some of those first steps and really put the pieces together of what their kid's day-to-day experience is in schools has been transformational. I think a lot of times parents have sort of been happy to send their kids off on the bus, and we sort of trust that everything is all well and good.
There used to be a time when, over the last couple of years,
some questions have been raised about what really is going on in the school building. So we're really happy that parents are taking that step to get involved.
So in the last segment, we're talking with Chairman of the Minnesota Republican Party, David Han, and we ended up talking about school choice and vouchers. Can't say vouchers anymore because that's where David and I always end up in all of our conversations. But I forgot, like, it isn't just
okay, you've got your existing public school as it is, or we have school choice, and that's it.
Correct.
Within our existing public school system, you can be effective by advocating for sanity and for your kid if you choose to.
Yep. And I continually find myself saying, guys, this is a both and strategy. Hmm. So if you're somebody who really believes in education freedom and you want to see that initiative come to Minnesota in a more universal way like we've seen in other states, that's awesome. Keep advocating for that. But simultaneously, keep advocating for strong public schools, because if and when that becomes true, we need competitive public schools. We will always need competitive public schools. And the vast majority of families will continue to access that as their option.
It's one of the things the anti-school choice people say, that we want to destroy public schools. Like, no. We just want kids to learn in public schools and in private schools. I believe that children are our future. Mm-hmm. And if we teach them well and let them lead the way and just show them all the beauty they possess inside.
Do you have the hook in the background that plays that song?
Not yet, but I will work on that.
So good.
So, Erica, how do you fit into all of this? I'm a parent.
Apparently. I'm a parent of three students. Yep. And they're all in elementary school. Setting up Osseo and what's happening in Osseo. This last week was June 1st, as everybody knows, and it kicked off Pride Month. And this was the first month that the resolution was in action in our school district, and that meant flags were present in every school, and it was a short notice email sent to parents that this was happening. We'd known it had been coming for a while. But
what is this resolution?
The resolution is the LGBTQIA plus culture and history resolution. It's a mouthful. And so that leads us back to last June.
Sounds like a terrible streaming service.
It's a lot of letters. So last June, this was voted on 4-2 by our school board. One of those school board members that voted for it was voted out last November.
So we've had Tanya Simons on. She's on that school board. It used to be 4-2.
Yes.
Lefties having the 4, and now it's evenly split 3-3.
Evenly split.
So this was done in the before times.
Yeah, and we definitely heard from a lot of people that they were disappointed with how that school board pushed policy and resolutions through during that time, because it was just pushing it through, like what the DFL is doing.
That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. And then before that, we had the 508 gender policy that was enacted 2 years before that. So every June, there seems to be something that comes up, which when you look at Minnesota, that's an inopportune time to get investment from people, because they're checked out at that point. Mm-hmm. They go to their cabin. It's summertime. We're just done. And so it seems like they're either sneaking stuff through or doing it intentionally.
So what does this resolution do? There's a flag involved?
So the flag is the first thing that's really been happening in the schools, or that kids can actually see. There's a lot of pieces to it. We're going there. Okay.
Let's dig in.
So it's very lengthy. Where do you want to start?
We got an hour.
Okay. Great. So the first thing is Pride Month. I'm going to just surmise it. The second is recommit to affirm and protect gender expansive students. Elevate voices of scholars. Ensure there's adequate initial and ongoing support for the Assistant Super of Equity and Achievement and the Equity Department to implement an intersectional approach to systemic barriers to equity of all forms.
Well, obviously.
Require system leaders to measure disparities and track district performance to inform progress for the LGBTQIA plus disparities through policy, practice, and pedagogy. I still can never get that.
Pedagogy,
obviously.
That's a well-loved word in the school system. Ensure that all facility design standards include increased privacy and greater student choice in restrooms and locker rooms. Establish a full month before June during each academic year to observe History and Culture Month of LGBTQIA plus.
Didn't the DFL try to normalize pedagogy earlier in this legislative session? That's a joke about words.
So much wordplay going on these days. My goodness.
And then provide resources for families and caregivers to understand and talk with their scholars about these identities.
So I don't typically ask...
And there's more. So it's super fun.
Okay, take a breath. I'm going to ask a question. I don't typically ask people to explain their opposition, but what is the... What do they say they're doing all this stuff for?
So, and I think it's with good intentions that this is done. They cite in the resolution that there's 2.7% of the students of our school populations are transgender or non-binary, and 20% are within the LGBTQIA plus and the additional letters, because those are included as well. So they're trying to protect them. They say there's higher suicide rates, higher mental health illness in those students. And so they want to make sure that they protect them. And there's also higher instances of bullying that were reported in a student strategy or a student survey that was pushed out. Although I take issue with how that was rolled out, as well as how they were phrased. It was a very low population of students they polled.
I think a great way to protect kids from bullying and to protect the sanity of children is to politicize their sexuality publicly.
Yes.
That works great.
I always think it's good. I mean, we have already heard stories from June 1st about how it polarized the schools, and that's really disappointing because this is from the top down, and they're encouraging this polarization in our schools.
That's interesting. Are children, our students, super up on what is coming out of previous school boards and resolutions that take effect on June 1st? Or are they being told about this from their parents or other people in the school?
I think our staff at the higher middle and high school levels are very proactive about teaching children about this. Okay. And whether it's having conversations that probably cross a professional personal boundary or encouraging the GSAs in our schools, they're very active.
What's a GSA?
Gay Straight Alliance.
Correct. Gotcha.
Okay. I sometimes mess it up.
I made a list of all of the resolutions.
There's a lot of acronyms.
That my school board made in the 13 years I've been in. I was in public education. Mm-hmm. That list is right here. That's all the things I remember
There's so many acronyms.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been on a couple advisory groups, and it's crazy. It's like you just need an interpreter for that.
So many things to say about this. Where do we start?
Is K through, me too. Is K through 12 education with children, is that the right place for this battle? Is this where we want the battleground to be?
So here's my thing that I always like to preface any of these conversations about that are about controversial or divisive topics in K-12. I think we just need to bear in mind as we talk through this, we're going to spend an hour talking about this topic, that all of the many hours that are spent, how could this be time better spent to help close the achievement gap? Because while we're spinning our wheels talking about this in school board meetings and parents are rallying around these issues, what if we rallied around like literacy? Yep. What might that look like? And I think that we have to keep reverting back to it is less than a coin flip chance that your kids are academically proficient in math and reading if you send them to Minnesota public schools. So let that be sort of undergirding all of these conversations, because I think that a lot of people want to make, you know, the parent movement be this like anti-LGBTQ thing. And it's like, it's
let's just be pro-math.
Like, great, right? Like, let's focus on academics. I think we're not anti so much as this is a huge distraction from what we believe our school's main mission should be.
This isn't the purpose of schools.
Correct.
This is a conversation that should be had in the home, and it should not be contained in the schools.
10 years ago, I was talking about the achievement gap in Minneapolis on a different radio program, and we had a suburban legislator in who made an offhand remark that, well, we don't have an achievement gap in Elk River. And what people don't understand, parents don't understand, and certainly Republican activist parents don't understand, is that Minneapolis and St. Paul aren't the only places with achievement gaps. They're everywhere.
We have a huge achievement gap in our district.
And I think that even some of the suburban districts, and candidly, I live in one, like to point out that, you know, their scores are above the average. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're even in the top 10 or 20 ranked, you know, scores in the state. That's a really low bar. So I think that we need to kind of keep in mind that the average is still exceedingly low. So to say that you're above average really doesn't have a lot of meaning these days, right?
Well, and compared to other states, just even beyond Minnesota comparisons, compared to the nation, we're not doing so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at Osseo's right now as we speak.
So I can talk to that a little bit. Our proficiency in math and science from 2018 to 2023 dropped. Over 1,000 students were no longer proficient in those subject matters.
Wow.
So I think that, you know, again, we only have a finite number of hours in our day for academic instruction, and we only have a finite number of dollars, despite what maybe some other legislators and other people may think. There is a finite amount of money that we can dedicate toward K-12 education, and it is really a matter of priorities at this point. How are we going to best allocate that time and money toward closing what is just an incredibly concerning academic achievement gap right now, and particularly after COVID. But I will always ask people, you know, if you're going to be looking at statistics, look at them before COVID, because these declines were happening well before that time
100%.
Period.
So what's motivating this? Are people who get on school boards, do they run to be on the school board because they want kids to get a better education and have a brighter future? Or are they lefty activists who are just trying to bring the fight to children?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And I think that I always like to go into every conversation assuming that we all have the children's best interests in mind, right? It just depends on how we're going to get there. And it depends on what our view of what the main mission of public school education is. And for people that I believe are opposing, you know, some of the viewpoints that we're going to discuss, it is their view that public schools are to create agents of social change. It is their mission to create, to transform the culture. And We disagree. And that is a fundamental disagreement about what public schools are for. And I think that really is what is behind a lot of, sort of the controversy right now in the K-12 space.
All right, break time. We're talking with Christine Troyan with the Minnesota Parents Alliance and Parent Erica. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 651-289-4488.
From Glencoe to New Mexico and Apple Valley to Napa Valley, Intelligent Radio. We're where you are. Stream AM 1280 The Patriot at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
Whether a lazy weekend spent up north enjoying Minnesota lake life, finding your favorite Juicy Lucy, or attending a music festival in the city, discovering bands that become the soundtrack of your summer. It is these precious, fleeting moments experienced together that shape us and make us who we are. Plan your dream vacation at exploreminnesota.com. Sponsored by Explore Minnesota Tourism. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Master Pool and Spa. Master Pool and Spa's huge truckload sale. Save up to 26 to 51%. Come in and we'll prove to you we have the best products at the lowest possible price. Master Pool and Spa is Minnesota's largest spa dealer. We have the largest selection at unbeatable prices. Drive a little and save a lot. Some of our clients have driven hundreds of miles because the deals are that good. Master Pool and Spa's huge truckload sale. It only happens once a year. Save up to 26 to 51%. Free delivery and trade-ins welcome. 18-month interest-free financing. This is a limited-time offer. Master Pool and Spa. Visit us today at 394 in Louisiana and St. Louis Park. Look for the big blue sign. Check us out online at masterpoolandspa.com. Masterpoolandspa.com. Or call us at 952-253-0665. That's 952-253-0665.
When you take the time to really get to know your body, you find that the root causes of its aches and pains are usually simple. The older we get, the more exercise we undertake, and the more injuries we sustain, the more inflammation our bodies suffer from. It's so simple. And my answer to that pain is Relief Factor, which I discovered years ago and take every single day to great effect. It helps the body to fight off inflammation, and I've never found anything that worked better in my life. I can't recommend it enough. 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it works for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. Feel the difference. Relieffactor.com.
Save 700 gallons of water and 250 pounds of salt this year with the new Wet Technology Water Softener from Commerce Water. Get $400 for your old softener. Commerce will haul it away, too. Commerce.com. Commerce Water. Go to Commerce.com.
Welcome back to the Jack Tomczak Show. I am Jack Tomczak. In studio, we have Christine Troyan with the Minnesota Parents Alliance and Erica, a parent in the Osseo School District. We're talking about, give me a minute here, an LGBTQIA+ resolution that took effect June 1st, passed by a previous school board. Mm-hmm. And we know that it at least involves putting the LGBTQIA+ flag on a flagpole.
Mm-hmm. But it's not on a flagpole. It's just posted within the building.
Posted within the building.
Mm-hmm. Prominent location.
Permanent location.
Mm-hmm. Prominent and permanent.
Prominent and... Oh.
Yes.
This is weird, and I'm probably going to get fired for saying this, and you guys are never going to talk to me and kind of ruin the whole thing. But why don't we celebrate other people's sexual preferences?
No, I think that's such a good question.
I would posit that we shouldn't be celebrating anybody's
because it's
sexual
insane.
Preferences.
Because it's insane.
Education.
Because they're children.
Children.
And with this, we need to sideline the sexuality and start mainstreaming the academics is my perspective.
We all look kind of the same age. If this stuff had been talked about in elementary school, like somebody would call the police.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And parents would have been rightly ticked off, like, you shouldn't be talking to my kid about this. Mm-hmm. It's not your business. This is, mm-hmm. it's just not your business. Mm-hmm. Teach the things. Leave the stuff for me to handle. It's nutty.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
We know.
Mm-hmm. It is nutty.
So what else comes with this resolution apart from the flag that is prominently and permanently displayed?
So,
is it permanently or just for this month?
So the original resolution was poorly worded. Okay. And it was phrased in a way that made you believe it would come down in June.
Okay.
But now they have decided, an advisory group of mostly staff people have decided that it's going to be up all year.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think also, you know, bear in mind that I think we can all relate to this because we were middle school and high school and even elementary school students. Our schools are just a pressure cooker of you know, peer influence. And, mm-hmm. and I think that it is incredibly hard to be a student whose maybe family values or faith background is antithetical to some of the teachings and sort of, you know, I don't like to use the word indoctrination, but, you know, that is the term that's being, I think, used to kind of describe some of these really aggressive ideological pushes in our mm-hmm. school.
Are you an ally?
Am I an ally?
Are you an ally? I've heard that's what kids are being asked in schools. Are you an ally?
Yeah, that is being asked.
That
and
turns
I think
into bullying and peer pressure real quick.
That's an incredibly difficult answer. You know, if the answer is no, I'm not because my, you know, faith foundation or family values dictate otherwise, that is not an inclusive environment.
They shouldn't even
for
have to explain
students.
That, period.
That is not an inclusive environment. And so I think in the spirit of inclusivity, which is apparently what we're driving at here, mm-hmm. I think we really need to ask ourselves, is this a fully inclusive environment? If we feel that, you know, I know that Osseo recently has had a group of parents, and you may know mm-hmm. more about this than I do, not send their kids to school on the day that they were going to put mm-hmm. this all together with flags and sort of celebrate this because they just don't want their kids to have to confront, you know, the incredible high pressure environment that this creates for them.
Let's take a look at the LGBTQIA plus thing as not a sexual preference thing, mm-hmm. but as a political ideology. If schools had Republican Month and put the Republican flag up, half the parents would lose their minds. Mm-hmm. Rightfully so.
Mm-hmm. We aren't even allowed to say Christmas anymore. So I don't understand how it's a whole month. So part of this is there's a whole month outside of June dedicated to culture and history curricula that's mm-hmm. going to be introduced into the school next year on top of June being focused on Pride Month. So why are we dedicating that much of our school year to a topic that is really divisive? Is, you know, it's not something that, I don't know, it's just a really polarizing topic. I don't know why this would be an emphasis in our schools.
Well,
It'd be like me going to school and expecting them to teach about my faith background. Like,
yeah.
That, there's no place for that.
Well, this is what makes you think that they're completely full of it. Because if they're saying that they want, that their goal is inclusivity, mm-hmm. by bringing up and celebrating one group of people, you are by definition excluding the other groups,
I
the
think,
other flags.
The term intersectionality comes to mind, and I think that, you know, we're starting to see some tension now because I think there are groups that come forward that will say, you know, maybe we are people of color. So, you know, a lot of, I think, the ideological push in our schools is to be more inclusive of communities of color. However, maybe some of those same individuals do not share the values of sort of the transgendered ideology movement. And so, you know, it's like, what identity then do we preference? Is it that there are communities of color? Is it that there are trans? I mean, I think people are complex and unique individuals.
Yes.
And so we can't preference one identity group over another. It's going to become problematic, to use another, I think, term that gets tossed around a lot.
There are infinite ways a person can identify themselves. And do we have to celebrate all of those things?
Well, and I think also what is important to recognize in all of this is that there's really been a war on merit, in my view, and in others. And so rather than celebrating students for their achievements, you know, we used to have, you know, real recognition around students who really tried to, you know, get on the honor roll. We don't even in many schools have that anymore.
Are you serious?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
I mean, there has been a push, and this is sort of around the grading for equity concept of saying.
The what now?
There's a whole other, like, bucket of issues. But, you know, grading for equity is sort of this philosophy that a lot of our, you know, not just school board, but teachers have had to. It's like required reading, and they have implemented a different grading metric. And a lot of it is, you know, we don't have deadlines anymore, and we don't require the same things that we used to of our students. And it's all rooted in sort of equity initiatives. But ultimately,
let's end up on the front page of the Star Tribune. How does not having deadlines for students
prepare them for adult life
relate to their race?
Right.
Go.
Right. Truly. I mean, and also to just sort of try to tie all this together, I think that the upcoming mental health crisis is we are graduating children out of the K-12 system who are completely ill-equipped to function in the adult world.
Yeah.
That does include deadlines and does reward, hopefully, merit and hard work.
Yeah.
So, you know, to kind of go back to saying that I think that we need to start celebrating students for their achievement, and they want to be praised. And I'm particularly disturbed when I see a lot of this ideology being pushed at the elementary school level, because previously, I'm sure when we were all in school, it was like, oh, hey, you're a great reader, and or you've achieved some sort of academic thing that we're all going to celebrate how hard you worked. And kids crave that praise from the adults in their life. And because they are no longer being celebrated for that, they're craving something to be celebrated for. And now it becomes, hey, we're going to celebrate the fact that you have explored your, you know, gender and sexuality and may want to out yourself as being somebody who now is in sort of this celebrated group of individuals.
And I think this brings up the situation that happened in Osseo, where there were books in the kindergarten classrooms that addressed transgenderism, and it was written by a former kindergarten teacher who's a transgender man now, and it was totally setting a kid up to understand transgenderism and what that choice would look like in their life. And it was done under the radar. Nobody addressed it. And as a parent, it's up to the luck of the draw who your teacher is, how that's dealt with in your classroom. So you really have to either trust your teacher or ask really hard questions and know everything that's happening in your school.
If a teacher ever talks to one of my kids about their junk downstairs, I'm showing up at that school. In a terrifying way.
But will you know? And I think that's what's really upsetting to parents is we aren't in school 24 hours a day with our students. And we do and formally have trusted the other adult in the room here to make sane choices when it comes to what's age appropriate for that student. And now I think that foundation of trust has been shaken by examples like you're describing, where now all of a sudden there's a book that I think most parents would agree is not age appropriate for kindergarten.
And we pulled together a petition recently to raise awareness and to move the school board to action. And a lot of the points in it are, did you know this, and this? And people will share it with people and they'll say, we had no clue this was happening in our schools. So I have basically just started telling people, if you see it in the news, if it's the like biggest scandal around this topic, it is happening in Osseo School District. So it's all happening. People are not aware of it.
So my son is 8 and in the Cub Scouts, and to get his bear badge, we had to watch a video about private parts and who gets access to those and talking about those things. And it's all about stranger danger. And if somebody has this conversation with you, tell a parent immediately. So that's what's happening in Cub Scouts.
So,
and then schools are like, here's a book.
So much of the ideological pushes are coming through social emotional learning programs. And I think that's just right on what you said, is that we are starting to kind of mess with the way that kids look at what would be possibly an uncomfortable or dangerous situation. And we're asking them to reevaluate through a different lens. And so the phrase that they often use is seek to understand so that you can be understood. Mm-hmm. So they'll tell a young student, hey, you know what? If you're in a bathroom, if you're a little girl and you're in a bathroom and there's a man that comes in, think about his feelings before you think about your own.
That's so damaging.
And that is sort of the reshaping of kids' psyche and instincts that these programs are driving at.
All right, break time. You're listening to the Jack Tomczak Show on AM 1280 of the Patriot. Give us a call, 651-289-4488.
Take your investment knowledge to new heights this year on the 2023 Eagle Financial Publications Cruise. Join us along with The Money Show on a luxury voyage to the Caribbean and learn from top financial experts like George Gilder and Mark Skousen through workshops and seminars. Relax and refresh, all while discussing investment strategies with like-minded individuals. Secure your spot today at eaglefinancialcruise.com. That's eaglefinancialcruise.com. Eagle Financial is a division of Salem Media Group.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-260-1792. 800-260-1792. 800-260-1792. That's 800-260-1792.
November 2nd, 2020, marked the 100th anniversary of the first commercial radio broadcast. Guess what? We're still here, and we're bigger and better than ever. You can still listen to us over this great radio station, but now there are no limitations. Your smartphone is now your smart radio. Listen to us online, on the app, TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio, and Odyssey.com. Your smart speaker can find us, too. With radio, there's no separation anxiety. We're always on AM 1280, The Patriot.
TV news. It's a love-hate relationship. Well, let's be honest. More hate. We agree. That's why we're different. Salem News Channel has assembled the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. Home to Charlie Kirk, Hugh Hewitt, Eric Metaxas, and more. There's finally a place on TV for lovers of freedom like you. Watch anytime, on any screen, free, 24/7. Find what you're looking for at snc.tv. That's snc.tv.
Join Gene Sullivan each week on Where You Live, where he takes on... Gene, who do you take on anyway?
Maniacal landlords, slippery renters, overbearing HOA boards, demanding homeowners. Oh, and the legislative lunacy brought on by local politicians wanting to fix everything for us.
It's a common sense perspective on the news and stories that affect you the most, right where you live. Join Gene Sullivan every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1280, The Patriot.
Welcome back to the Jack Tomczak Show. I'm Jack Tomczak, talking with Christine Troyan, Executive Director of the Minnesota Parents Alliance, and Erica. She is a parent in the Osseo School District. Christine, what is the Minnesota Parents Alliance website?
It is Minnesota Parents, all spelled out, one word, .org.
Okay. Do you have a QR code you could vividly describe on air?
I wish I could, and that'd be so great. Right? Telepathically give it to your listenership.
We're going to get into parental rights. I wanted to cover something real quick before we get into that, that Christine, you had mentioned. If you're a little girl in a bathroom and a man comes in, we're training our kids to be more concerned about his feelings than the child's feelings. And that's super damaging, even just outside the conversation of sexuality. It's super damaging to a human being to not
have self-preservation.
Have self-preservation to not, like, we're telling, on one hand, we tell kids to take up space, be heard. And then they're like, unless
it's against the 20%.
There's a trans dude there, then, like, don't, then just keep your mouth shut.
And I think, you know, social emotional learning could be a whole show in and of itself. But, you know, one of the principles of social emotional learning is responsible decision making. And as a parent of young kids, when I hear that, I'm like, great. Like, you guys should definitely learn how to make responsible decisions. But as it's defined by these social emotional learning programs, that can look a lot like voting. With social responsibility. And so then it does become very politicized. And we just know now that we are going to start pre-registering voters in high school. And so it really drives this, you know, one-sided political agenda all the way through and into adulthood.
And there's going to be some conflict in what kids are told at school and what parents are telling them. Because if somebody of a different gender comes into a bathroom my kid is in, their advice is to flip the F out, is what I tell them at home.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's where I think parents have to be ready to defend their children and show up for them in really intangible ways.
Okay.
Going to the principal, going to the superintendent, making a stink. There's a phrase, raising a respectful ruckus.
I was going to say, is there an effective way to raise a stink? Because my plan might not be effective. It'll be loud,
yeah.
A little scary, but probably not effective.
No, I think it's super important to bear that in mind, because the first step is, you know, I always say talk to your kid's teacher and identify, are you working with a teacher who is somebody who wants to help your child succeed academically and wants to partner with you as their parent, values your relationship with your own child, isn't going to keep secrets from you, etc.? Or do you have an activist? There are two different people working in our school buildings right now, and you have to determine what your child is working with every day. You know, and if it's an activist, you need to be much more vigilant about, you know, what does the classroom material look like? You need to request those materials, and you need to continually advocate for, you know, your ability to assert your parental rights in that situation.
Could you imagine how messed up we'd be if somebody was talking about switching your gender up with us when we were in elementary school?
Yeah, it's incredibly confusing.
Yeah.
And I will say, as somebody who studied this at an academic level in college, it's confusing to adults. This is like a critical theory. Like, the whole underpinning of critical theory is that it is to dismantle and deconstruct systems of power and knowledge. And so really, like, in critical theory, truth is up for debate. It's basically a big old social construct that we can tease apart, and there is no objective truth.
And that's super dangerous.
It is really challenging to have even just debate with somebody who's a critical theorist, because it's a non-starter for them that your truth, it's like your truth or my truth.
And it's about feelings. It's all based on feelings.
Right.
We can't
make good policy.
That's the downfall of Western civilization.
Operate a judicial system with critical theory, right? So that is, I think, what is the most challenging of all of this, is all of these ideological things that are being injected into K-12 has their roots in this critical theory foundation of there is no truth, your truth, my truth, and also that everything we know needs to be dismantled, deconstructed, and torn down.
This might be a dumb question, but I think nowadays there are no dumb questions, because you never know what lunacy is happening. Math. Is there still objective truth in math? Because engineers need to build bridges in the future, and I want them to build bridges that don't fall down.
Yeah, no, I think we all want professionals that have been educated in objective truth.
I want a
when
doctor
I'm seeking
who knows
a physician,
what they're doing.
Yeah, you bet. I definitely want that. But unfortunately, I think that critical theory has been interjected into literally every space, including math. we're in really frightening territory, I think, as it relates to especially young minds, because I think the most delicate instrument is the mind of a young child.
Yes.
And I think that right now, confusing them at such an early age and really just shaking their foundation of even just basic, you know, what's a boy, what's a girl, that's hard to overcome.
I read a book that changed my outlook on everything called What Happened to You by Dr. Bruce Perry, who's a brain doctor, and Oprah Winfrey, who is a journalist based out of Chicago, Illinois. I see big things for her in her future. And it talks about childhood trauma and how, unless that's untangled, it messes you up as an adult. How is this any different?
Yeah. What's sort of maybe ironic about this is that the social-emotional learning programs, they place every child in a multi-tiered intervention system of support. So they basically assume that every child, by function of living in this crazy world, it has been traumatized, so is a victim of trauma. Mm. And so that's sort of what, like, the assumption is going
They're
in,
providing the trauma.
Right? And so, you know,
here's
that,
a book
again,
that makes you question
just,
who you are. Good
yes,
luck.
Yes.
What your parents tell you.
Right.
You can no longer trust them.
Yeah, it's a real chicken or the egg, because I think when we talk about mental health, usually people bring up, oh, well, we need more social emotional learning programs. That's the solution. And,
well, and
that also might be the cause for a lot
right.
of
Absolutely. And it is chicken the egg, because you see people that express issues with depression or anxiety, they go get mental health care mm-hmm. and are told, oh, it's a gender issue. And this has happened. We have seen children in the school district where this has happened. And they're then, by changing your gender, this will solve your mental health problems. And that just doesn't solve the underlying problems that you're having.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here. Might make more problems.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
But for all of this, parents need to be part of it. And
well,
so
I'm
we
assuming
always say parents belong in every conversation where decisions about your child's health and education are being made.
So,
and so
does the school, if your kid is talking to like the guidance counselor or whatever at the school, do they inform the parent right away?
No.
How does that work?
No, absolutely not. There's, especially in our school district, we have, it's not written into the resolution, but we do have confirmation from district employees that they will not share that information with parents, and they have instructed staff members to withhold that from parents, which is very disappointing and mm-hmm. alarming as a parent.
And some districts have codified that in policy that it is explicit that they are not to share that, and others have
and I could see us heading that way
up to somebody's discretion about whether they think that's a safe adult to share that information with. And again, this is all about the semantics and you know the definitions of words being changed. And the word safe is a really key word in this conversation. Who is a safe adult?
You read 1984.
If you won't affirm your child's gender, you have become an unsafe adult in their life in the eyes of.
If you can make truth no longer subjective and change definitions of words whenever you need to change definitions of words, we're done as a society.
Yeah, it's incredibly concerning. And it's incredibly hard for these, you know, I think really well-intended school board members to create good policy when I think the definition section is often up for debate.
Well, and even staff members, I think we're really cutting them off at the knees, because there's fabulous teachers in our school district. And you have seen the struggle they have gone through. I mean, COVID was one thing, but then after all of these policies and resolutions were put into place, we have lost a lot of really good teachers. And I have seen the struggle that we've faced in our elementary school, and it's unfair to them. It really is. We're making them choose between their personal morals and what the government is telling them to teach children.
100%. We're putting them in an impossible position right now.
So when they hire a new teacher, let's say they're hiring a math teacher, that person has to know math, has to know how to teach. Mm-hmm. Do they also need to be trained up or an expert on all of this stuff?
If they've graduated after this next year, I believe, when the new Pelsby rules went through, they do need to be educated in all this, no matter if it's a private school or public college that they attend.
Correct.
So if you're tall.
And that was approved by one judge.
Wow.
And it was an administrative board, and I think that, you know, we also need to focus on the fact that so much of what is happening is being implemented using an administrative vehicle versus legislative. And I think that they knew they could not get what they wanted to get done legislatively, although this last session really raises some questions, but that wasn't a given at the time that they were trying to get this through. And so the administrative angle was the end run around legislating these.
You guys ever have a teacher who is a teacher because they're a good coach? Mm-hmm. Is that the guy or gal or question mark who now has to talk to your kid about all of this stuff because they're a teacher, even though they're really just a coach who's like teaching biology or teaching something easy? I don't know.
I'm thinking of one teacher I had in high school who was just a coach.
Are you saying that like this
that they're
is
not qualified?
That they're,
yeah, like it's very dangerous to have people talking about mental health with children when they took a course or read a pamphlet. Like,
why is a math
qualified
teacher talking about sexuality? Why is a math teacher talking about mental health? They should be talking about math.
Yep.
And I think that's where you look at our statistics in Osseo School District in Minnesota. We are failing our children with our education system and need to refocus on the basics.
You know, and good teachers know that they aren't qualified mental health professionals and they should not be having these conversations. And that a lot of these, you know, social emotional learning programs open up a can of worms that they're not willing, like ready to address at all. And so I think that, you know, the good teachers, I'll say, are really very cautious about approaching this. But I think activist teachers are going all in and saying, mm-hmm. this is my space to really affect social change.
And I do think a big part of why the social emotional learning came into play was because a lot of parents abdicated their role in the home.
True.
And no longer taught discipline or taught children how to function in a group setting. And so they come to school and you have children acting out. And my sister's a teacher in Minnesota, and she tells me there are some benefits to social emotional learning in so far, like in elementary school, where we're mm-hmm. training them to sit in a group, to show respect, to not pull somebody's hair. And so those are scenarios where it works out for the children. But otherwise, this isn't their role. This isn't the role of schools, and parents need to step up again.
And again, these programs are hugely expensive to implement, and they take a lot of time that we don't have right now.
And I got to think that unless you are an activist, teachers don't want to deal with this stuff.
No.
They don't want to be. That's not what they signed up
We're
for.
We're asking
Depends
them to
on
do
the teacher
things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, one more segment on this topic, talking with Christine Troy with the Minnesota Parents Alliance and Erica, a parent in the Osseo School District. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 651-289-4488.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
From South St. Paul to Southeast Asia and Little Canada to regular-sized Canada, we're where you are. Listen anytime, anywhere at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
It's not over. Unplanned pregnancies still happen. I'm Marianne Koharski, director of Pro-Life Across America. In my 30-plus years, I've never seen such a concerted attempt to silence our efforts and at a time when it's most needed. There's a powerful effort to prevent and block our pro-life messages. Our billboards, social media, and digital ads are all impacted. Our messages feature a hotline number connecting callers with more than 3,000 pregnancy support centers across America, offering alternatives to abortion, free ultrasound, and pregnancy assistance. Babies' lives are being saved. The need still exists. It really does. And Pro-Life Across America needs your help. Please find us at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org.
Did you know I could suck my thumb before I was born?
Yep, we all started small.
With the new radical Minnesota legislation permitting abortion at any stage of pregnancy, your help with Robbinsdale Women's Center is needed more than ever. While the abortion industry stands ready to profit from a woman's unplanned pregnancy, Robbinsdale Women's Center is the first step in educating women on the truth about all their options. Through RWC, women will receive services and resources to make an informed decision. These resources include medical services like ultrasounds, other education and parenting classes. They'll learn more about the beautiful baby growing inside. Sadly, 80% of RWC's patients are seeking an abortion when they first visit. After seeing their baby on an ultrasound and hearing unbiased information on all their choices, 8 in 10 women planning to terminate the pregnancy change their mind. Robbinsdale Women's Center is 100% donor-funded. Please help RWC provide life-affirming options for women. Visit rwcinfo.org. A sustaining gift of $44 a month helps save a baby, but make any donation you can. rwcinfo.org.
I've got a math question for you. When you add tolerance, subtract prejudice, and multiply efforts to treat one another with respect, what do you get? Less division. And school sports have it down to a science. Looking for an example of what can happen when we realize there's more that unites us than divides us? Look no further than high school sports in Minnesota.
This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Activities Administrators Association.
GodTube.com. Inspiration, comedy, music, faith, and fun. Get the best of GodTube every morning and start your day with a smile. Great faith-based videos sent to your inbox daily when you subscribe at GodTube.com, a division of Salem Media Group.
Welcome back to the show. I'm going to just share this story on air. I regret that I can't live forever because I want to see where the human race goes as far as what we invent, the cool things we make, because stuff's only getting cooler. Are we going to get to Mars? All that stuff. But on the other hand, a good reason not to live forever is we don't have to witness what society looks like in 100 years, 200 years. Like, we're not trending in a good direction. And one of the problems with this whole conversation is that the other side will use it as, see, LGBTQ
MSIA plus people, they hate you. Mm-hmm. No, we don't. Mm-hmm. We don't hate anybody. It's just a question of appropriate time and place for conversations that people really shouldn't be having with children.
Yeah. And I think for the well-being and longevity and stability of our public schools, we can't continually have this really radical pendulum swing back and forth. I think a lot of people are thinking, oh, now conservatives are going to come roaring back and they're going to, you know, put Bibles into schools and do all these things that are like, you know, driving their, you know, value system. And it's like, no, the best people to put in school board seats are the people who can be centrist and reasonable and really identify with the majority.
Let's just teach in the buildings we make for teaching people. Let's just teach. Let's just leave it at that. Mm-hmm.
And I do think there's a lot of people that are currently on the school board or not in the school board, but on working with me on a petition that we have going in the school district that have said, I'm a moderate. Like, I thought I was kind of left until I found out what was happening in schools. And I thought, no way, this cannot happen.
It is a bridge too far for most, like, reasonable people.
We were talking with David Hahn about that, different topic, but it's like people, Democrats calling him saying, I'm just not crazy. Yeah. You guys got to give me a reason to vote Republican because my side is nuts. Scott in Maple Grove. Thanks for calling, Scott. What's on your mind?
Yeah, just listening to the conversation, and I wondered for just the many people who are a part of these school districts, like, what are some tactical ways people can get involved, actually do things to make a difference? Like, what are some things that parents or concerned citizens can do? Because I do think that some of the things we're hearing are concerning.
Thank you, Scott, for the well-placed and well-worded question.
Yeah. Great. I'm glad you asked, because there still are a lot of things that parents can do. I think it's easy to feel like helpless and overwhelmed by all of this. And parents still do have constitutionally protected rights, you know, for their children, and they should assert those. Our organization has on our website a variety of different, you know, forms and different things, depending on, you know, your particular situation that you may want to consider. And certainly parents should review curriculum and they should have conversations with teachers. But beyond that, you know, maybe your concern is you don't want your kids participating in surveys that ask them really intrusive questions and collect data. Maybe you don't want them participating in comprehensive sex ed, because that has been a curriculum that has become, you know, incredibly controversial. But whatever it is, and wherever you are, I mean, our website really endeavors to kind of meet you where you are and figure out how you can assert your rights. But I think that also the best thing to do is find other like-minded parents who share your concerns. And I think Erica can speak to the fact that, you know, in Osseo, which is a huge district, there are a lot of parents who have kind of come together around some common concerns and are trying to constructively engage with their district. Mm-hmm. They're showing up at school board meetings. You're being vigilant about watching what's coming up on the agenda. And you're sort of reaching out to district leadership to try to figure out how they can work with you.
Absolutely. And so that starts with, I think, even encouraging school board members that you do agree with, because they're in a really tough spot. Encouraging staff members that are doing a great job. And then from there, emailing people that you have, the appropriate people that you have issues with in terms of some of the policies and resolutions going on in your school.
I've been involved in Minnesota politics for almost 30 years, and I have only recently started paying attention to school boards. Mm-hmm. And I'm relatively plugged into issues and stuff. People need to pay attention, because for the longest time, school boards are just done what they're going to do because they know nobody's looking.
Well, and it's, you, like, believe they're acting in the best interest of your children.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that you, we're no longer on the same page.
You think it's the school board you had when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm. I do think that's a big thing, is just get informed. Like, if you can't do anything else, just pay attention and ask tough questions. You may not hear what you want to hear, but ask those questions.
And school boards have an incredible amount of influence, everyone. Like, please know that there's still a lot of local control that happens. Like, most of the curriculum and choices are made at the local level. And so watch for those school board candidates. We have a voter guide that we tried out to do this year, because I think that a lot of people at the bottom of the ballot are like, well, I don't know. Like, I haven't paid attention to who's running for school board. I don't know these people.
I'm guilty.
Go to our website. Look at our voter guide, because we find people who are aligned with our mission and point them out to people to say, okay, you're in Osseo, and here are the three people that are aligned with our mission of restoring our schools to a place where academic achievement and parental rights are still valued. Or support those candidates. Find out who they are and go help them door knock. Yeah. Help them get their message out.
Because
it's really hard to run for school board. When you run for, like, legislative office, you have all this support from, like, your party and all of the things. The school board elections are nonpartisan.
And if
these
people are amateurs.
They're political.
There's no help with
unless
finances.
You're supported by the union. Right. And then there's massive amounts of money, massive amounts of support. You don't really have to do anything.
And that's another thing. Like, in the Republican versus Democrat world, talking about Education Minnesota, there are teachers, part of the union, who vote Republican. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you there are more teachers who disagree with this stuff, mm-hmm. regardless of their party, regardless of how they vote on other stuff. They're not with it on this. Mm-hmm. So we've got allies in there somewhere.
And we have to be willing to support them in that and help them anonymously if they need to speak out, because people need to hear from teachers. Yeah. And a lot of these people, they're in a tough spot. Like, there's a lot of people close to retirement that we've talked to that have said, I want to speak up, but I cannot because I will lose my retirement. Mm-hmm. I will not be able to qualify anymore. But that's their livelihood. Like, could you imagine? You're planning your whole life for that. And it's tough because we're in a spot where it's our kids. So I go, is it worth it? Absolutely. It's my children.
Ooh. Teachers want to say something but don't want their name out there, come on my show. I'll protect your identity. You can say what you want.
Perfect.
I mean that. Absolutely.
No, truly. Courage is contagious. Speak up. Like, if you have any sort of a platform, speak up. Because and even if it's just, like, write a letter to your editor in your local paper or ferret out other conversations you can have with, you know, people on your kids' school sports teams or whatever it is. Like, it can just be something simple like, hey, I'm kind of concerned about what's going on in our district. Because you share these concerns.
There are other parents who are seeing it. And they're like, am I seeing this right?
And it always happens in, like, hushes and whispers. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, like, you share my concern. Okay, well, let's be quiet about it. Don't be quiet about it.
So,
it's okay.
And like, we were kind of operating under that for a while. And then we realized, no, this can't go on, because we just started seeing the effects of the resolution. And another person and I wrote this petition and have started circulating it. And just even the amount of people that have come out and said, we just thought it was just us, or we were going to leave the schools because we can't deal with this anymore. And there's a lot of people that can't afford to go to private school, can't afford to homeschool because they have to two working home. So what's their option? Well, and what's their option? To stay in school and your kids get, and I know I hate this word, but indoctrinated or taught things that you are not agreeing with that go against your basic morals.
Yeah,
those
are tough
up.
Options.
Speak up,
and
people.
Your kids are more important than if the people down the street think you're a weirdo for,
absolutely.
For speaking up.
And look at your kids. I always say, okay, if you're a middle schooler and you are in a school that's violent and has become like a complete chaotic mess, or you're not learning and you're struggling with academics, you're looking for the grown-ups in your life to do something. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really sad to say that there are a lot of kids that are kind of like, where are the grown-ups? Like, our schools are out of control. Mm-hmm. I'm not learning. And like, who's advocating for
that's me? That's a whole other show.
That
how we as
grown-ups
show. Have failed as grown-ups.
Grown-ups.
We're not grown-ups anymore.
Yes.
I do think a big part of it, too, is documenting. A lot of parents feel helpless and don't know how to document their interactions with the school district.
1 minute.
Okay, so I would say definitely, I think Minnesota Parents Alliance has a lot of information on this, but even recording and what the laws are in Minnesota, doing things via email so you have documentation of it, doing it on public record, like at a school board meeting or letter to the editor, where things are out there in the open and people can look back and say, okay, this is on the record now. We have something to work on, or your school board has something to work on based off of what you said.
And so much of life feels like it's inevitable. Well, it's not. Get involved. Yeah. Fight back.
And let your engagement be an inspiration to others.
Yes.
Be the person who does something that's like, yes, I love how they did this and I want to do this too.
Woo!
It's a lot. You can do it, parents.
Did we cover a tenth of what we could have covered?
No.
Well, come back. We'll do it again.
Okay.
Fascinating. It's tragically a fascinating topic.
It is.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Christine Troyan with the Minnesota Parents Alliance and Erica, the parent from Osseo. Thank you. Thank you.
You or a loved one struggling with drug or alcohol use? Maybe you're not sure if it's addiction or if treatment's needed. If so, you're not alone. According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, 19.3 million people aged 18 or older had a substance use disorder in the past year. Hazelden Betty Ford offers a free confidential assessment. Inpatient, outpatient, and virtual options are available. It's time to take back your life. Hazelden Betty Ford can help. This message sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
I appeal to you to fight. I fully recognize not everyone has a fighting nature, but everyone can help fighters. What's wrong is not to do either. If the troops have no supplies, the troops are worthless. This station is a fighter. So there's a very simple way for you to help this station, and that is just patronize their sponsors.
Help us continue to keep the Twin Cities right by supporting the local businesses you hear on this station.
Master Pool and Spa. Master Pool and Spa's huge truckload sale. Save up to 26 to 51%. Come in and we'll prove to you we have the best products at the lowest possible price. Master Pool and Spa is Minnesota's largest spa dealer. We have the largest selection at unbeatable prices. Drive a little and save a lot. Some of our clients have driven hundreds of miles because the deals are that good. Master Pool and Spa's huge truckload sale. It only happens once a year. Save up to 26 to 51%. Free delivery and trade-ins welcome. 18-month interest-free financing. This is a limited-time offer. Master Pool and Spa. Visit us today at 394 in Louisiana and St. Louis Park. Look for the big blue sign. Check us out online at masterpoolandspa.com. Masterpoolandspa.com. Or call us at 952-253-0665. That's 952-253-0665.
Dennis Prager here. Join us in Israel this fall. Soon, time will run out, and then you'll regret you didn't go, I promise. Mike Gallagher and I are headed back to Israel in October with our trusted partner, Inspiration Cruises and Tours. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to stand with Israel. That's the name of the tour. We'll be visiting amazing places in the Holy Land designed to encourage and captivate you at every turn. Visit StandWithIsraelTour.com and sign up today. In Israel, we'll explore some of the most fascinating sites from religious and political history. We'll walk on the streets of Jerusalem, sail the Sea of Galilee, float in the Dead Sea. In fact, you could even sit in the Dead Sea with all its healing and rejuvenating effects, and visit the Western Wall, a spiritual experience you will always remember deeply fondly. Our expert guides will help explain the significance of every site, and our food and accommodations are specifically designed with you in mind. No other trip will be like the Stand with Israel Tour. Sign up today to travel with Mike Gallagher and me this October. Call 855-565-5519 or just visit StandWithIsraelTour.com.
AM 1280, The Patriot.